All right. One of the things that I'd like to point out right off is we have a visitor with us, Rebecca Sherlin. She's the lady that Donna Potter and I have been studying with lately. So I told her, on the way over here that she called this evening and was like, I need to try to see if I can find another church. Let me come see and visit with y'all. So that's what she's doing. And I told her that some of the stuff that we're going to go over tonight might seem a little bit familiar because of the studies that we've already had so far. So I just wanted to... it isn't that crucial. We're not going to use the PowerPoint until later, but I still would like to have it. All right, so we're going to start in Matthew 28:18 through 20. This is a common verse that many of us know. It's the Great Commission. But one of the things that there's something here that I'd like to point out in this particular thing. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." One of the things I want to point out here is this promise that Jesus gives in verse 20. "I am with you the end of the age." And of course, the context theory is talking about in teaching people, in teaching them all things that I have commanded you. And so that is something that I think we ought to recognize when we are in studies with people, is that God is with us. Jesus is with us in these studies. Today we're going to go over some... over the method by which we study, and we're going to consider some do's and don'ts. Now, of course, none of these are hard and fast rules. As I said before, anyone that I've had a study with might go over one of the do's or don'ts, and they'll be like, "Wait a second, you don't do that," or "You do that. What are you talking about?" So, some of these are not hard and fast rules. These are general rules that we should follow, very likely, but there are some situations you got to use a judgment call, make a judgment call to decide whether or not this is something you need or want to do. First thing I want to talk about is the study method. I cannot stress how beneficial and how beneficial a study method is. Many people, whenever they're studying the Bible, they'll take the Bible and they'll go like that. "I'm going to study this today. Oh, it's Matthew 22. Well, that's actually really good. But that's how some people study. They decide to study something at random, and they will, and sometimes that's a good thing, but it's often very good to have a directed study as well. And so that is what we are going to look at in the next few weeks. We're going to look at the kind of method that I use personally in studies with people. And of course, you're free to use whatever method that you like. If you have a method that works, use it. But if you don't, here's what I use. And that may help with you. Some benefits to it. First of all, it keeps focus. A regimented study helps keep things in focus. You are much less likely to chase rabbits. Now, what does it mean to chase a rabbit? It means somebody is going to come up with something, and you're going to be like, "Okay, well, that's an interesting thing," and you're going to talk about that for a little bit, and then they come up with something else, or maybe you think of something else, and you decide to talk about that for a little bit, and before long, you're so far away from the study that you had in mind to begin with that, it's not as focused as it ought to be, and you're there forever and you get nowhere. Sometimes I chase rabbits, I'll be honest. That's probably one of the most difficult things for me, is sometimes I like to chase rabbits. But that is something that we should try to keep to a minimum if we can. B, Because if we continually chase rabbits, you'll never get finished, and the person that you're studying with might lose interest. The method often does not matter. You must choose, as I mentioned before, a method that works best for you. There are advantages and disadvantages to each method. As I said, I'll teach you the one that I use, and that is called Back to the Bible, written by Bobby Bates. I heard a talk about it at PTP one year, and it seemed like a really good study, and it is. I've used it several times, and it's been very good. Some advantages to this particular study: it is simple. Anybody can do it, which is must be why I like it so much, right? But it is simple. Anybody can use it. Basically, it's the format is you have a Bible verse, you turn to that Bible verse, you read that Bible verse, and you answer a question. What can be simpler than that? Now, I tend to add things to it, which makes the study last longer, but you don't have to do that in order to go through the study. Some disadvantages is that it goes over a couple things that aren't particularly necessary to know before becoming a Christian. And those things could be skipped. There's one particular one that talks about the officers of the church, the government of the church. That's not strictly necessary to know before becoming a Christian. But some people have questions about that. And so we discuss that, and that can be a good thing. So it really depends on the study and what you decide to focus on. There are several other methods that people might use. You might use, if you do have a method, the Jewel Miller film strips. That is older, but it is still very effective. And in fact, they're making it so that it works on PowerPoint. Because nobody has... Nobody has, or a DVD even. No, because nobody has a projector, film strip projector anymore. and so what they do is they have it, some people do. but they've put it on a DVD now or on PowerPoint, so it can be useful, and it can still be useful and still be relevant. There are other methods like search for truth. I came through the Open Bible Study, if you're familiar with that particular one. It's actually very similar to Back to the Bible in a lot of ways. Just a few differences, reorders a couple things that it talks about, but they're still very interesting good things to use. If you use one of these and it works for you, use it. But if you need a method, might I recommend Back to the Bible? It's, again, a very good study. And I recommend it for this purpose. All right, the value of a second, I think, is the next point I want to talk about. The value of, I call it the second. It's the, again, in preaching school, we call it the silent partner. Somebody mentioned it, called it that in when we were studying this. And this is the person who's not the leader. You have the leader of the study, and then you have someone who accompanies you. Now, the second is usually silent during most of the study, and their position may seem superfluous. But let me assure you, that position is not superfluous. Yes, the second should remain silent unless prompted for whatever reason. And to me, personally, it can be frustrating as the leader, if I'm the leader of something, to be thinking of an answer, and then the second jumps in. Somebody else jumps in and tries to answer it instead. And to me, that can be frustrating, and that's a personal thing. For me. So it's also often good to find somebody that you work well with. And that can be difficult, but usually it's a husband-wife team if you are married. If not, then you might be able to find somebody else that you can use. In fact, Aquila and Priscilla, we see in Acts chapter 18 that Aquila and Priscilla were that husband and wife team that taught Apollos things more accurately. And so that is an example that we see in the New Testament of that kind of situation. So the role of the second. I talked about this a little bit last week, but just mentioned it briefly. I think it's good to talk about it in a little bit more detail today. First and foremost, the second is supportive by merely being there. By barely being there, it aids support and benefit to the leader, and it's a great thing to have. There's a reason, as I mentioned, that the Lord sent people to talk to the villages and the other people two by two. Sent the disciples out two by two. There's a reason for that, and I think it's largely due to support. Now, if the second has some input, then he or she should allow the leader to indicate what they want, that they want to share something before they do. You know, say, I got something to say. I think it'll be helpful, and that'll be good. Because one of the great things that input is so often so very helpful. Perhaps the leader gets stuck, especially if you have one who's a little less experienced. Then that leader might get stuck in something or needs time to think. Or perhaps you, if you're the second, can explain things in such a way that can be better understood. And so that's a great thing as well. I learned that when I was teaching regular school. I was trying to teach something in chemistry. I'm not going to go into too much detail on that. But I was trying to teach something in chemistry, and one of the students came up and showed a different method for doing it because she figured it out, and that helped a lot of students. And so that's a good thing, is that very often somebody else can have a way of thinking about things that helps somebody else out better than perhaps you have. And so that's a good thing. Another role, read scripture when asked. Read scripture when asked. I was in a study at some point when I was in Lynchburg, Virginia, where I was the second. That was my role. And the primary, the leader of the study, had asked me to read all of the passages because the person we were studying with couldn't see very well, had some troubles reading things for very long. And so I read all of the passages. And so that's another role that the second could play, is helping to read the passages, especially if you're with someone who can't read as well. And so that's very helpful. Because otherwise, because in that way, it shows that it's not just the leader trying to manipulate things. It's a community effort. And that's a great thing for that as well. The second can be used as a learning tool as well. The second could accompany to learn how to have a Bible study with someone. If you need, and that was, it was my position as a second many times, is to learn how someone who was better than me at it did it and encountered some difficulties and was able to get my feet wet in that and work that out. So that's another great role, is one who is learning. If you want to volunteer to be a second, so you can learn how to do these things in the field, as it were, let me know. And next time we've got a study coming up, I'll let you know, and we can possibly go together. Sometimes the second is better to be a particular person, though. So, for instance, say one of you asked me to study with a particular person, and so I go and study. Oftentimes, the second is that it should be that person. For instance, if Joy had somebody that she wanted me to study with, and so I study with that person, the ideal person to be the second would be Joy, because she knows the person already and would be very helpful in that study. So sometimes that's a situation that you want as well. The second can also be the more experienced person, and that's possible too. So you have a position where the primary, the leader, is engaged in the study, and you have the second who's learning from the leader. But then you have another situation where the leader is the one who is trying to lead, learn how to lead, and then the second is the one who helps the leader. If they get stuck, they can explain things in perhaps a better way. So that's another thing that is helpful. So these are the roles of the second, I think, that are very beneficial and can be used. And I think that if we recognize that we need that. We have a method, and we have two people in the study. It can be very beneficial. All right, some do's and some don'ts. Try not to have more than a few people in the study. Again, not a hard and fast rule, but it's better to have a few people, only a few people in the study. Rebecca has asked some of her friends and neighbors to join in our study, and that was fine. It was only a few people, and that worked out very well. But sometimes that will, sometimes a lot of people will join in, and then it becomes less manageable, and that can be a problem. You might think that it's a good thing, the more the merrier. But you see, the more that there is, it's difficult to handle everybody because everybody has a different opinion about everything. And sometimes that can be very difficult with more than just a few. Four people, if you have five people, four people might be in agreement with you on something, and of course the scripture, and then one person offers dissent and everything falls apart. And that's not what you want. You want to be able to make sure that people understand what the Bible has to say. Families, however, are a good thing. Remember, in the Bible, we have Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. We have Lydia and the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. They and their whole household heard the gospel and were saved. So that is a fine thing. If you have a family, then that's a good thing. You always want to know what you're walking into so that you can have some idea on how to handle it. All right. Another, and this is kind of a minor thing, don't turn to the passage before the person you're studying with gets there. Now Rebecca's looking at me like, you do that. And part of that is because I think she's turned there already and she hasn't, so I turn there and then she starts turning pages. But but that's all right. That's all right. Because a lot of times the person that you're studying with doesn't know the Bible very well. And they might feel a little embarrassed about it. You know, you ask them to turn to John and you're like, that's the first verse of first book that's talked about in the study Back to the Bible. You ask them to turn to the book of John, and they're looking in the table of contents, and they're taking a while to get there, and they might feel a little embarrassed. So to alleviate that, you can help them about where it's at, but don't turn to it for them, because one of the things you want them to do is be able to learn the scriptures as you're going through it. And so if they're turning to it themselves, then that will help them learn the scriptures and where the things are in the Bible themselves. And that's very helpful and very beneficial. It is okay if it takes them 5 minutes to turn to a passage. It's okay if it takes them 10 minutes. You know, you're not going anywhere. it's fine, and if they apologize, then, you know, tell them it's okay, because you're there to help them to learn. You're not there to just get through the study, right? Try to be the last person to turn to the passage. Again, it's a little thing, but it helps them feel a little bit better. All right, don't chase rabbits. I kind of talked about this a little bit already, but if they start talking about things that you know aren't quite right, let them speak. Let them speak, and then maybe try to segue back into the study. If you hear something and it's like, wait, no, that's not right, that's not something you need to tackle right then. That is something you can tackle a little bit later on, maybe, if you need to. But in that moment, for instance, if they start talking about the end times, a lot of people start talking about the end times, and that's not what the study's about. What you want to talk about is you want to try to segue and bring them back into the study that you brought, because you want to get through that. You might say something like, that's interesting. We live in a messed up world. You know, sometimes people say something like that. You know, we live in a messed up world. And then eventually, let's get back to the study. Because you want to get through that. Many times, they will ask questions throughout. And that's fine, too. But you don't need to answer them right then. If they ask questions, that is fine. That is great. You want them to ask questions. But write it down, and you can get back. You can get to it later. In fact, one of the questions that was asked that, you know, in the study with Rebecca, she's got another person that has joined us during those studies, and she asked about women preachers. And I thought, okay, well, this is a good thing, but we can talk about that later on in the study. And we did. We did talk about it. So that is a good thing. You know, let it naturally flow in the course of the study. You don't have to talk about it right then. Write down the questions and defer them until later. Again, either the lesson will answer their questions eventually, or they will lose interest, which is fine too. If they lose interest, if their question has already been answered, if they figured it out already, then that's fine too. All right. When they give the wrong answer to a question, do not say, "Wrong!" And don't give them the answer either. Remember, we're using the Socratic method. We want them to figure this stuff out because then it will be more real to them. It's not just your opinion on something. It's them learning what the Bible has to say. And that's an important thing. Do not say they are wrong. Do not give them the answer. Again, the point is to help them figure it out on their own. And there are different strategies depending on the situation. First thing, though, when they give a right answer, compliment them. Say, you know, that's right. Or good job. Or, you know, something to that effect. You want to say something that compliments them. Because one of the things that you can do if they give a wrong answer is silence. Silence. And then they'll be like, wait, okay, I need, and they'll, in the back of their mind, they'll be like, wait, I need to rethink this. Because he didn't say good job or that's right. So that's another thing. You can give silence. That's one strategy. Another one is you could say, let's read that verse again. Or perhaps let's read that question again. Because sometimes the questions are worded kind of oddly. And so it's good to read the question or read the verse again. And emphasize, if you need to, emphasize the parts that are important to the point you're trying to make from that verse. And do this especially with a yes or no question. You want to make sure that they get it. Because often you'll be like, what someone will do in this study, if it's a yes or no question, and you respond with silence, you don't say that's right, then they'll be like, if they think it's no, no. And then you respond with silence. Yes? but see, that's a clue that they're not sure. And so you want to make sure that they get it and then say, okay, let's read the verse again. Let's read the question again. Let's make sure we got this. Because you want them to get it before you move on to the next thing. Because sometimes these studies build on the knowledge that they learned in the previous study. For instance, the study that we had just recently with Rebecca was on instrumental music. And so I tried to focus on the fact that we live by the New Testament and not the Old Testament. And tried to, and I reviewed that at the beginning of the study to make sure that she was aware of that. So that is another thing. You want them to understand the point that you're trying to get across. All right. If you don't finish the study that day, how many times does that happen, Rebecca? we don't finish a study on that particular day. Sometimes.
Yeah.
So the thing is, let them keep it. I know some people may try to work ahead, and that's fine. If they work ahead, maybe they'll get stuck. Yeah, and that's okay. That's okay. So, and typically it does no harm if they work through the rest of it on their own. because then you can go back and you want to make sure you go through it together. And that's the important thing so that they get the whole point. All right, before the study, last point. Before the study, pray. Pray privately the night before or that morning. Pray before on your own for the study. Make sure that everything goes how it ought to go. And then pray with the prospect, with the person that you're studying with. Pray with him or her during the study, either before or after or both if you feel that's necessary. And often that's a good idea to pray regardless. Pray that they will have an open heart and thank God for their willingness to study. Prayer is a really important part of this. I can't overemphasize that. Make sure you have all your materials together. Sometimes I feel like I'm scrambling to get everything together, but no, make sure you have everything in one place so you can get up and go. Studies, charts, scratch paper if you need it, pens, Bibles. You might want to bring an extra Bible or maybe some extra pens for the study in case the person that you're studying with doesn't have a Bible or maybe doesn't have a pen or pencil. So that's a good thing to do as well. Bring extra studies too. I always make sure to bring a few extras just in case. And amazingly, sometimes somebody else shows up and that's a good thing. I know I mentioned before you don't have too many people in the study. But sometimes two is fine. Two is a fine number, I think. That's manageable. And so sometimes I've brought extra studies, and it worked out very well. And let's see. And make them easy to carry. I use a single clipboard for all the studies and charts that I use. And we'll look at the charts and studies and in the next few weeks. We'll look at those. We'll also look at as I mentioned, scratch paper. I'll mention what you might put on scratch paper as well. What I do anyway. And that can be hopefully very helpful and very beneficial for you as well. All right. Finally, the questionnaire and the reason why I have a PowerPoint. This is, again, before the study, before you study. You want to do this no later than before the third study, in between the second. So there's Back to the Bible has three studies. You want to have this questionnaire before the third study. Often I'll do it at the very beginning, and that's fine. That's typically what I do. Sometimes I do it a little bit later. The first six questions talk about God. And you want to ask these questions because these questions are assumed by Back to the Bible. In other words, Back to the Bible doesn't talk about the existence of God. Back to the Bible doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit or the deity of Jesus or anything like that. It doesn't talk about the validity of the Bible. It assumes that you believe that God exists, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Bible is God's word. It assumes these things. And so you don't want to start with Back to the Bible if they answer no or unsure to any of these questions. I think, yeah. Now, one of those questions, so the first question, do you know God exists? Boy, if they don't believe that, there's no use going to the Bible, is it? At least in some aspects, you got to be able to prove that God exists first. And there are different ways to do that, and I'm not going to talk about that in these studies, but if you have somebody who wants to have a study with you and doesn't believe that God exists, let me know, and I'll come up with something. In fact, I did, one person that we did have a study with, had some questions about the Godhead. Some people call it the Trinity, but some people don't like that term in the Churches of Christ. But the Godhead. Some people had some questions. Somebody had a question about that. And so I actually did put a study together. that helped them answer questions in kind of the same style as Back to the Bible for that continuity. And so I presented this to him, and he seemed to understand. Now, this is a very simple thing. If you're having a study with a Jehovah's Witness, wow, that's amazing, because they don't have studies with anybody if they're not doing the teaching. But if you manage to get a study with a Jehovah's Witness, this probably won't convince him, because you've got to go over quite a bit more. This particular thing might help somebody who's just unsure about it or a little unclear about a few things. But if you want, I can present this to you and you can study that with whomever has questions about that. All right, the next few questions are about the Bible. Do you believe the entire Bible is God's Word? Do you believe the Bible contains contradictions, mistakes, or false statements? Do you believe God will do everything He has stated in His Word? This is important, because if they don't believe these things, you've got to go into the Bible and why the Bible is God's Word. Because again, Back to the Bible assumes these things. All right. whenever they finish filling out, I won't look at the next section of the questionnaire until at the moment. I'll look at it in a second. But I want to point out that you will use this questionnaire later. You hold on to it. They don't keep it. You hold on to it, and you will use it later. And we'll talk about that when you will use it. We'll talk about it. And it is important, especially for the next few. You want to make sure that they write this down. Are you saved? If yes, at what point were you saved? What did you do to become saved? Have you been baptized? If so, how old were you when you were baptized? Circle the word that best describes your baptism. Sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. If you have been baptized, were you saved before or after baptism? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? Again, I believe this is the most important part of the questionnaire. When they realize the truth about baptism, they will change their mind about their baptism. And they'll say, yeah, I was baptized, I'm fine, I'm good. But whenever they realize the truth of it, they will change their minds and say something that they didn't say in the initial study. And so you want to have this to show them, hey, this is what you said. This is what you said at the beginning. Again, we'll talk more about this when we get to the third study. And we will talk more about that then, and it will hopefully be beneficial for us all how we use this particular questionnaire. All right, so with all this, congratulations! You are ready to start your study. You have done through all the preliminary stuff. You've done this questionnaire. You're ready to start the study. So next week, we will look at the very first study. And one thing we've got to recognize remember is that Christ is with His people.
Well, I haven't done the questionnaire.
You did. You did. I've got it.
Oh, okay.
All right. So next week, we'll look at the study. Yes. Remember that Christ is with His people. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with His people. So let us work up the courage to do this, to have Bible studies with people, and to help fulfill the Great Commission. But all this is useless to you unless you have obeyed the gospel yourself. Unless you have become a Christian, then this is useless to you. You can't use this unless you become a Christian. There's no point in studying the Bible for someone else to be saved if you haven't been saved yourself. You've got to become a Christian. And if you haven't done that, you have a chance to make things right with God. And if you do need to make things right with God, if you are a Christian, then you have a chance to do that as well. If you have a need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.